Blackhawks Live.
Here's the break, and in front of the pass, he scores!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live. Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live. Now, here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Rivalry week, if we can still call it that. The Blackhawks take on the Detroit Red Wings up in the Motor City tomorrow night. And the Blackhawks could use a W, try to get on a little roll here after somewhat of a solid effort against the Colorado Avalanche, but coming up with another loss. The Blackhawks taking on Detroit tomorrow night and then welcoming in those Avalanche on Friday evening at the United Center. How's it going, everyone? I'm Joe Brand alongside Chris Bowden. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. Hi, Chris.
I'm sorry the Bears general manager job didn't work out for you, apparently, Joe. You were one of the, one of the interview candidates, correct?
You know, once I flew in and I didn't see George McCaskey picking me up in a Bears jacket and meeting me at the luggage claim, I realized it, I missed my shot.
How was the interview, though? Everyone's been interviewed. I didn't get interviewed, but you were part of that, right?
Yeah. It was very nerve-wracking, a lot of hard-hitting questions.
It was during the first period of the game last Friday night that you got on a Zoom with George and Ted and company over there, or no?
Yeah, well, the Bears want to just multitask a lot moving forward. So, apparently I can hopefully help
I'm
out.
I'm trying to work here.
You know what? It's such a big sports day. I mean, the nerve of the other sports to become relevant here on the night of Blackhawks Live. We've got the Bears finding their new general manager. We heard the big Hall of Fame news from Kevin Powell. I just spoke with Jordan Bernfield off the air. He was talking about the Hall of Fame being not very, very good to Sammy Sosa. And I said that should have been his lead. Maybe Kevin will jot that down.
Yeah, I think so. Come up at 6:30. That's what you'll hear.
Anyway, this is Blackhawks Live, where we talk all and everything Blackhawks. And
well, now we will, yes, after we got that out of the way.
Starting after
6:12. I steered it off center.
Starting after 6:12. But I hate to just lead in with the Blackhawks coming off a loss, but it was a solid performance against Colorado. It wasn't a great performance, but it was a solid one. They definitely outplayed the Avalanche in the first period. They outplayed them in some parts of the second and third, but it's not enough. And we've said this time and time again, when the Hawks take on a team that has more talent than them, it's going to take a full 60 minutes, and sometimes that's not even good enough. And I think that's kind of what we saw the other night.
Well, I'm sure most Blackhawk fans can remember the way their team played from, say, 2009 to 2016. That's the kind of team that Colorado, and Minnesota is also getting there as well, too. The kind that is so deep and so talented, they can flip a switch when they want, and much better efforts. Really disappointing with the Friday effort against Minnesota when they lost 5-1 and came out real flat after, what, 3 or 4 days off. Derek King thought he was doing his guys a favor, and they came out on their heels, and Minnesota did not. Much better performances Saturday night in the rematch against the Wild and then last night in Colorado. But, that's part of the big picture that we're looking at here and the task that is at hand for whoever is going to run the Blackhawks from here on out. You look at this division, Minnesota and Colorado are already so much better than where the Hawks are right now. You throw in a St. Louis into the mix. You throw in, a Dallas that, probably has some hard decisions that they have to make coming up this offseason. A Nashville team that the Blackhawks always struggled against, Winnipeg as well. And it's a real daunting hill to climb, not only this season, but when you look at the big picture, how those teams are stacked up. They're still fairly young, especially Minnesota and Colorado. St. Louis certainly has some young players that I don't think don't get nearly enough respect. So when you're looking at the big picture here, those are the teams that are going to be ruling the Central Division. You're going to be trying to chase down. So some important decisions have to be made. If Kyle Davidson's the guy here, especially approaching the trade deadline, he will be. But then moving forward, how they want to approach what they're going to do with this team. I mentioned on Twitter last night, some people were talking about it was a bad effort. No, Friday was a bad effort. Mm-hmm. They were much better Saturday and then again last night. But they were going up against much better teams, and sometimes effort compared to talent isn't enough. Sometimes it'll win you some games, but you know, I mentioned that the likes of Detroit and LA and Anaheim and even Ottawa, they've torn that thing down and had a rough couple of years, but now you can see that they're starting to progress and starting to become a good team, and there's a light at the end of that tunnel. And you know, if there was, I think, a little bit more consistent approach here from the hockey operations department over the last couple of years, rather than bouncing back and forth on whether they want to contend, whether they want to rip it down and go into a rebuild, I think if there was a more consensus or a more consistent decision to go through a couple of tough years, they'd be in a much better position right now in terms of how the future is looking.
Very good points. Want to expand on it. Along with WGN-TV's Chris Bowden, I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. Blackhawks are coming off a 2-0 loss to the Colorado Avalanche. They are in Detroit tomorrow evening. And Chris Bowden had mentioned a couple of good points I want to get to. Also, just a quick reminder, Nick Olchek is going to be joining us after the news. Nick Olchek, obviously, obviously the son of Eddie Olchek, filling in for his pops on the TV side the past couple of days. Unfortunately, some rough circumstances, as Eddie O had to be sidelined due to some health issues. We understand for the most part those are on the positive upend. We can even hopefully get a little more clarification from Nick Olchek, but Twitter sure seemed to like the prodigal son, and you know, everything we've been dealing with him here on the WGN radio side, he's been doing a top-notch job as well. I know John Weideman likes working with him a lot, but man, on full display, what type of talent that kid has.
Tremendously tremendous, if I were to
the quirk he made, the very first sentence he says. Yeah, you got another old check in the booth, but just a different first name, a little better looking, too,
yeah.
As he winks into the camera. Like, all right, kid, you sure know how to
charmer.
Work this city.
You charmer.
But we'll have a lot to talk to Nick about in a little bit. Just kind of want to expand on a few of the things you brought up. Yes, Friday's performance was something to be concerned about, but I'll remind Blackhawks fans that it took that loss and it took the Arizona loss to kind of not so much light a fire under this team, but at least give them a reset, at least kind of change the mood and change the focus heading into the next game. Because after that Arizona game, they came out and they beat Vegas. Mm-hmm. After that Minnesota game on Friday, they came out with a much better start against Minnesota on the road and nearly picked up a win there. And the Colorado effort is something you really can't be disappointed in. But the fact of the matter is, right now, there are teams that are better than the Blackhawks. And the Blackhawks have a long way to go to getting to the postseason. So the conversation right now can't be about the postseason. Even Derek King mentioned, you know, I don't want to go towards the abrupt phrase that, okay, our playoffs start now. We just want to put together consistent hockey games, full-on efforts, a full 60 minutes, and that's what we need to work for moving forward. He even brought up the term building a culture when he was talking mm-hmm. about Ryan Carpenter backing up Sam Lafferty in Sam Lafferty's first game. I mean, those are the types of things being tossed around right now. What you mentioned earlier, the Blackhawks roster doesn't necessarily reflect that right now, because there are going to be some very difficult decisions to be made come the trade deadline on March 21st. But one of the biggest things is, who is going to be making those decisions? Will it be Kyle Davidson? Mm-hmm. Will there be someone above him? Will someone else have his role? All these things still need to be figured out. And I don't know if we're going to get a clear answer until some of those things get figured out. And the other thing is, it sounds like they are being very respectable to Marc-Andre Fleury, to Jonathan Toews, and Patrick Kane, and not just going to do anything rational just because that would benefit the Blackhawks right now. It seems like they're putting a lot of thought into absolutely everything.
Well, from everything we understand, this is Kyle Davidson's team, at least through the end of the season. So he will be the guy on the trigger come trade deadline with what they want to do. And speaking along those lines, I just see in Elliot Friedman's latest 32 thoughts that he has a little blurb about we should maybe prepare ourselves for Marc-Andre Fleury to become a Washington Capital. Mm. So, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. Kevin Lankinen as well, along with Colin Delia. So that's something to consider. The other UFAs, and the reason we're bringing these up is teams are more inclined not to, be married to a particular contract moving forward through the end of the year so they can, have a little boost in the playoffs. But, you have Ryan Carpenter and Lafferty, who I know the Blackhawks have really liked and has been really impressive with the opportunities that he's been given so far. Calvin DeHaan, Eric Gustafson, a couple of other guys who could be moved at the deadline as unrestricted free agents. Those, RFAs on the team right now include the likes of Dominic Kubalik and Dylan Strome. Kirby Dach obviously isn't going to be going anywhere. But those are some of the names to consider here. If Kyle Davidson, if the Blackhawks continue trending as they have for most of the season and are out of the playoff picture, some names you could consider moving and try and get some assets in return. But they don't have a first-round draft pick. I don't know if any of those players would necessarily bring a first-round draft pick in return for the one that they lost in the Seth Jones trade. Some real important decisions moving forward. And, I mentioned some of these teams that went with a complete teardown and now starting to reap the benefits of building themselves back up. And this team that the Blackhawks are seeing tomorrow night, Detroit, just awful for a couple of years. And, there were decisions to be made here, whether you wanted to try to contend or play the long game. And, if it wasn't likely, if you didn't think you were likely to make the playoffs over the course of a couple of seasons, why not go through some growing pains? And Detroit has certainly done that under Steve Yzerman. But now they've had a couple of wonderful drafts and they made a couple of smart moves as well. And this Detroit team sitting there at 18-18-6, they have 42 points in 42 games. The Blackhawks are at 37 at 42. So this is not the team to sleep on like you have in the past few years, because you can see they're starting to reap the benefits of their complete teardown. And they've been a solid contending team all year long and have been a problem for some of the teams that you think are much better. They're hanging with a lot of these clubs, and that's the team the Blackhawks will close out this road trip against tomorrow night.
Based on the last couple of opponents for the Blackhawks, I do think that this schedule the next couple of days can work in the Hawks' favor. Also, based on the way that they have been playing. When you talk about going into a full rebuild mode, I don't think that the Hawks need to go eventually into a full-on quote-unquote tank mode. I feel like the NHL and all sports really have kind of shied away from the full-on tank mode. I think there are ways that the Hawks can still improve without going that direct route. I also think they've got plenty of pieces to build around, but it is going to take some creativity and it's going to take some harsh decisions. And I agree with you that I think Kyle Davidson is fully in the position to have those calls for right now. And unless something gets announced or somebody else gets brought in, I think that is going to be the case based on what the speculation has been about Kyle Davidson and some of the moves he's been able to make. I mean, Alex Nylander gets moved, and this is a guy that the Blackhawks mm-hmm. were thinking pretty highly on in the past couple of years until now. So I feel like that should help them moving forward as well. Nick Olchek is going to be our guest after the 6:30 news. Our Boyke's question this week will be, if we can have somebody call in 312-981-7200 and tell us what college Nick Olchek went to and played hockey at. What college did Nick Olchek go to and play hockey at? 312-981-7200. That is our Boyke's prize pack giveaway question. Again, if you haven't checked out Boyke's.com, please do so. Use the promo code WGN Radio. Get 10% off your first order. It's not beef jerky. It's biltong. It's better than beef jerky and better for you. It's really good stuff. It's very tender, and it looks like we got a call right now. I wonder if we can possibly squeeze him in before we got to get to the break. Before we do that, hey fans, don't forget, as the new year begins and the pandemic stressors continue, now is the time to take care of your mental health. This year, a fresh start awaits. It's time to live your best life. Anesthesiologist Dr. Bal Nandra uses ketamine to treat major depression, anxiety, PTSD, and chronic pain. Ketamine is safe, highly effective, and can often immediately relieve depression or anxiety symptoms. For PTSD, they now offer the SGB procedure for quick relief. Ketamine's been the greatest advancement in mental health over 50 years. Ketamine treatments from Dr. Nandra can reduce your need for those drugs and far more experience than any other clinic in the Midwest. IV Solution is your only solution. And they now can offer you financial assistance assistance from the Serenity Foundation. Schedule your free phone consultation today. Call 844-9-IV-MEDS, 844-9-IV-MEDS. That's 844-948-6337, or visit KetamineChicago.com. That's KetamineChicago.com. Before we get to news, we've got Richard on the air.
I thought it was Nick calling up early with the answer to the question.
Now, that would have been sly by Nick Olczyk, but we'll be giving him the call. Richard thinks he has the answer. Richard, where did Nick Olczyk go to college and play hockey?
I'm going to guess Vanderbilt.
I really appreciate you just cold calling and guessing, but Richard, unfortunately, that's not the answer. But I appreciate you listening and giving us a try.
No problem. I enjoy your show regardless.
Thanks.
Oh, really appreciate that. All right. Well, hopefully someone else can call in with the right answer.
Hopefully Nick doesn't spill the beans when he's on with us either.
Yeah, maybe we can have somebody call in and Nick can clarify if they're correct or not. We'll see if that works out. Okay, Nick Olczyk coming on after the news. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. After the break, Jordan Bernfield has the news next. A little Billy Joel to pick up Blackhawks Live. You're listening to 720 WGN. He's WGN-TV's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. And our guest this week on Blackhawks Live is our very own. We can say that. He's been on the radio side. Nick Olczyk jumping over to the TV side the past couple of games. And if you don't know, Nick, that was Billy Joel's Big Shot. That song came out when you were negative 17 years old. So hopefully everyone driving around right now can feel just a little bit older. Nick, how's it going, pal?
Joe, Chris, really great to be with you guys. It's been a pretty surreal couple of months and weeks here for me and the family and just everything that's been going on. But really appreciate you guys having me on. It's been nothing short of a blast so far, and hopefully we can have a little bit more fun here tonight.
Well, pal, as everyone is thrilled for you and everyone is, you know, really excited to see you serve this role, obviously it came at a bit of a rough circumstance with your dad going down in Minnesota. And, you know, what do you feel comfortable telling us right now? But I know the last couple of messages have been positive in terms of his recovery.
Yeah, well first and foremost, I'm very happy to say that he's feeling better today, even better than when I last gave the update when doing the game with the incredible Pat Foley. He's feeling better, doing better. He's at home now, and now it's just kind of the going to doctor visits and getting some tests done to try and figure out, you know, what exactly what was making him feel not himself. So definitely happy to relay some continued good news, which is first and foremost. And again, such a huge thank you to the entire Blackhawk organization, Dr. Terry, Dr. Burke, everybody involved in the Minnesota Wild as well, who were just incredible in making sure that he had everything he needed. Their doctor, Dr. Sheldon Burns, who Pat had mentioned, was actually my dad's team doctor for the U.S. Olympic hockey team back in 1984, back when he was 16 years old. Pretty crazy how small the hockey world is. But no, everybody was really incredible. And the head security guy for the Blackhawk, Brian Higgins, even got a police escort to take care of the ambulance and get it to the hospital there in St. Paul. So just all hands on deck. And Kyle Davidson was incredible as well. And I mean, look, it all stems from the unbelievable leadership from the Blackhawk organization, Rocky Wirtz, Danny Wirtz, Jamie Faulkner, and everybody that is on board and making sure that whether it's him, whether it's another employee, whether it's a player, everybody's taken care of first class. So a big hats off to them. But at the end of the day, Edzo's doing just fine. He's feeling better, and hopefully he'll be holding the mic and sitting next to Pat real soon.
That's great to hear, Nicky. And I hope he was well enough after that opening segment on TV last night when you referred to yourself as a little younger but better looking old chick. I hope you got a text right away. I hope that phone was buzzing right away after you mentioned that.
Well, I'm sure he would be the one to tell you that. Even he would say, I get my looks from my beautiful mother. But no, nonetheless, it was so much fun. And again, just to stress the gratitude and thanks to the Hawks for allowing me, of all people, to get an opportunity to work with somebody who I've idolized and growing up my entire life. And massive thanks to Adam Roggewin and John Steinmiller and everybody, and especially Ralph Strandis, who has been really big in my broadcasting career and helping me along and giving me opportunities and helping me succeed. But you're right. It was a special night, and kind of crazy how my technical, like my actual debut happened when it was in St. Paul. And I just kind of got thrown in there in the third period and just tried to do my best. And I'm sure, as you guys could imagine, You know, I went in the second intermission to check on my dad after checking on him before the game. And in the first intermission, when he wasn't feeling great, I went in there after the second period and just wasn't doing good at all. And they said he's got to go to the hospital. And all of a sudden, he's walking out the broadcast booth with the doctors. And I'm getting asked to work the third period of the Hawks Wild game. And I'm sure, as you guys could imagine, about three-fourths of my brain and concentration was nowhere near the XL Energy Center. It was very much with my dad and making sure that he was okay. But like I said, just tried to step in and do the best possible job that I could, and a great honor to work with Pat last night. I tried to have a little bit of fun because that's what Blackhawk broadcasts are all about. Not too much to the point where it takes away from the game, but it was just such a special night for me, having known Pat as long as I have, and just tried to make everybody as proud as I possibly could.
Well, he did an outstanding job in that third period on Saturday night in Minnesota as well. So Thanks. you've worked with Foley, you've worked with Weidman. I want to know what it's like to work with Joe Brand as your
you don't
as
have
your
to answer
pre-intermission
that,
and post-game host.
This show's been going great until that question got brought up, so don't feel like you have to answer it.
No. It's fun. And I think the thing that separates Joe from perhaps people in other cities or around the world, that he just asks the right questions. It's the questions that he asks. It's how he asks them, how genuine he seems to care about the Blackhawks, to care about the broadcast, as well as the people that he's working with. He's real easy to get along with. And look, I know I'm gonna
checks in the mail.
Send the fan mail, Joe Brand.
That's not exactly what I just texted you, though, Nick. You missed a couple of extra sentiments.
But no, yeah, it's been such a blast. And Joe aside, I mean, working with everybody at WGN has been unbelievable. And working with Johnny Weidman, who I think at one point in his career is going to be inducted to a Broadcasting Hall of Fame with how long he's been around and what a great job he does and will continue to do. It's so easy working with him. He is unbelievably talented in what he does and in describing. And now that I've kind of seen both sides of the spectrum, right? Radio, you got to be a lot more descriptive. As the color man there, you got to be a lot quicker because the listeners have to just listen because that's the way that they see. So when you're trying to make a cohesive point, you got to be a lot quicker than what it is on TV. But Paul Zerang, I mean, just, you know, Krista and Brett in the studio, I mean, just everybody has been been so gracious and great great to me. And it certainly made my life as easy as possible.
So what's your favorite question that I've asked you? No, I'm kidding. But Nick,
wait till these next couple we're going to lay on you. You're going to have to dig deep for these next couple, though. So.
Nick, so listen, unfortunately with this business comes criticism, and it comes people critiquing your work, even though they don't know a thing about you. Now, I know we're doing a lot of compliments and everything right now, but I do want to be fair, and everyone needs to know that it's not just like you got put in this position because you're Eddie Olczyk's son. Not only have you been in the minor leagues, not only have you been paying your dues and doing the hard work, but you've been doing the behind the scenes stuff at NBC, at TNT. I mean, you are working in the truck, you are producing, you are editing. I mean, how much have those things helped you along with your career? Because a lot of people that want to get into this business just think, oh, I like sports, I can talk, I can do this. And then they see Eddie Olczyk's son on TV, and well, that's not fair. But it really does help you in the business to know all different aspects. So how has that helped you moving forward?
Well, Joe, it's a great question and something that I have given a lot of thought to over the years, when whether I was growing up playing hockey, only being told that I was only on Team X because I was Eddie Olczyk's son, or going and playing Division I hockey for a couple of seasons at Colorado College and saying that, you know, you could only have that because of your last name or whatever the case is. I understand that the career path that I have chosen is in a shadow. Some would say that is a burden. Some would say, you know, everything you have is because of your last name, when, you know, in reality, absolutely. Are there certain connections that I have made because of my last name? No question. I would be the first one to acknowledge that and say that. But the work ethic and what I have put in to be into this spot now, I think, is the one thing that people might not see superficially, but is the one thing I think that I can lay my head down every night and say, you know what? I worked hard and I did things behind the scenes. And you're right. I mean, the reality is that working this job with the Blackhawks, both doing radio and TV, in reality is just one of five jobs that I work. also doing behind the scenes work with a Telestrator type of software that breaks down plays for the Hyundai Closer Look for Blackhawks pregame, intermissions, and postgame. I've also over the summers and recently with college football, I work the virtual line. So when you're watching a football game and you see the line of scrimmage, you see the yellow first down line, I do that as well. Actually, my first 7 weeks of the NCAA football season, I was traveling every weekend, whether it be to South Carolina or Florida or Philadelphia or wherever in the United States, doing college football and working in a truck and working the game days from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. and then getting on a flight the other day or the next day and coming home. So it's all of that, and also working with that same type of software with breaking plays down and adding different graphics and arrows and trackers underneath players for the NHL on TNT, and being able to work with Wayne Gretzky and Paul Bissonnette and Anson Carter and Rick Tocchet and Liam McHugh, just an incredible group of guys down there, and they've been gracious enough to allow me to go down there and work with them and learn, but also trust that I know a thing or two about the game as well. So it's been a blast, and I should say the reason why I am here is because the Indy Fuel gave me an opportunity to start and do what I love most. And it was Jim Hallett, who's the owner of the Indy Fuel. That is the Blackhawks ECHL team. For fans who might not know, it's essentially like double-A baseball in the hockey ranks. It was Jim Hallett, the owner there, Larry McQuarrie, who runs the team, and my first ever broadcast partner, Andrew Smith, who taught me so much after working there with him for a couple of years and still technically working there as possibly, as much as I can throughout the rest of this season, and who knows what happens along the way. But it has been a heck of a ride, and I said it in my tweet the other night, but this is it's exactly what I've wanted to do for
realizing a dream.
Yeah,
realizing a dream
for the team that I grew up loving and mm-hmm. watching, and to be able to call games is an honor, and I take it very seriously. And I think going into a broadcast, I'm looking for two things. At the end, I want to have either taught someone something about the game of hockey or to have entertained them. And if I can do both, that's a great broadcast.
Well, you've done everybody proud here. Coming from here, and you've done your dad and your entire family proud with the work you've done, and hopefully it leads to bigger and bigger, better things. Before we let you go, I want to ask you one question about this Blackhawks team and one question in particular about an individual player as we start looking to the future. Yeah, Alex DeBrincat's going to be around for a long time. But another guy who's supposed to be around a long time, what are you seeing when you watch Kirby Doc right now? He just turned 21. This is his really third NHL season, bits and pieces. But what are you seeing with Kirby Doc right now when you look at the numbers, fair or unfair, 0 points in his last five, one goal, no assists in his last 10. Yeah. But again, he only just turned 21.
Yeah.
What are you seeing with the ceiling with Kirby Doc?
Well, Chris, I mean, I think he has everything that it takes to be a premier player in the National Hockey League in terms of his size, his reach. And look, the past couple of games, he's been killing penalties as well. I mean, he's been doing that, not just the last couple of games, but I think he's been doing it more frequently. But really, all season long, Derek King has trusted him to kill penalties. And for a guy that was chosen third overall, that put up a ton of points at the junior level, there is a lot of pressure that comes with that, no question. But you see some of the spurts, you see some of the flashes of what he's able to do with the puck when he gets confidence, the moves that he's able to make to beat guys one-on-one. But I think when Kirby Doc is playing at his best, it's straight-ahead hockey. Not worried about trying to dangle through guys and pull it between his legs, though he can pull those moves off sometimes, no question. But I think he is going to be an effective player for a long time if he adopts that straight-ahead style, a simple style of going to the net. And there was a play I broke down during the game, last game, where it was Patrick Kane who was kind of holding on to the puck up near the blue line, and Kirby Doc was behind the net. He didn't just stay behind the net. He looked and saw that Patrick Kane had the puck, and it was an instant trigger where he says, okay, I got to get to the net. He looped around the net to the right side and was able to get in front and get a tip on the shot from Patrick Kane, who waited for Doc to be able to get to the net front. So I think it's instincts like that. That's what's going to make him successful in the future. And look, has he put up 60, 70, 80 points a year through his career so far? No, he hasn't. Of course, we'd love to see that. but he's a guy that's still growing into his body. I think the future is still very high with Kirby Dach. And look, you got that type of size, you have that type of skill, and he can skate as well. And when you're talking about power play and penalty kill, I think once he really starts to get comfortable, come into his own, and find some consistency within his game, he's going to be an extremely impactful player through the rest of his career.
You want to make sure you teach something to somebody every broadcast. Well, you just taught everyone a little bit more about Nick Olczyk. Buddy, thanks so much for jumping on.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks, Nick.
And we'll talk to Nick Olczyk tomorrow as he's going to join John Weideman on the broadcast against the Detroit Red Wings. Really cool stuff. We got to get to a break, though. The last portion of Blackhawks Live coming up next here on 720 WGN. The last chance to win a Boyke's prize pack, 312-981-7200, to the first person that can call in and tell us what college Nick Olczyk went to.
Nick just told you what it was.
And played hockey at. Yes, he did. He gave away the answer, but...
We're going to use the dump button on him, but we decided not to.
Probably the first time ever the dump button has been used for something other than profanity. A couple of housekeeping things. Next week, we are currently scheduled to join Blackhawks Live after Northwestern basketball as
Tuesday.
Well, yeah, that will be another Tuesday. Again,
the first
show is typically on Mondays, but we're also going to get a time change in a couple of weeks too. But everything you need to know right now, next week, Tuesday night, is the next scheduled Blackhawks Live.
8:15-ish, 8:30.
That's what we're shooting
for. Northwestern doesn't decide to go triple overtime.
All right, we got Chris from Prospect Heights. Chris, you got a few seconds. What college did Nick Olczyk go to and play hockey at?
Colorado College.
Congratulations, right, Chris. You won a Boyke's prize pack.
Thank you very much. He also gave a little hint in his...
He did. And if by hint you mean the answer, you're absolutely right.
Thanks for listening, though.
Thanks for listening, Chris.
Closely, too.
And one other news to get to. How about our dear friend Will Chuckerman of the Blackhawks Media Relations?
He got hitched. Yes. Will usually helps us out with the guests that we do get. I don't know if he's... off this week, honeymooning, or
he has been taking some time off, some well deserved time off.
For Will, congratulations to he and his lovely wife, and welcome to the rest of your life.
And hopefully, Derek King's node to getting married doesn't haunt you too much. All right, that's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Big thanks to Curtis Koch, Nick Olczyk, and everyone else. Stick around. David Jennings News is next. After that, John Landecker, 720 WGN.